Hey man, it is such a beautiful day. Every day is a beautiful day, but it's really beautiful when the Lord just gives us sunshine and good weather. God is so good to us. I know we have a lot to cover today, not only in the message, but I'm sure you guys got a report that you brought back with you, and I want to hear the report of what God did and how God did what he did. So we're going to get right to it. Before we start, we just want to let you know that if you want to listen to the message later on in the week, you can find the message at www.bhbcstl.org. It's www.bhbcstl.org. And we're going to continue. I thought it would be good if we just continued in the series, if you would, this month with dedicating or celebrating the spirit of motherhood. Celebrating the spirit of motherhood. And I thank God for mothers. It's just something about mothers. We have Father's Day coming up, I know, but it's just something about mothers. I don't even know when it is, honestly. If you notice, the restaurants on Mother's Day, you can't find a seat. Go out on Father's Day. There will be plenty of room. And let me just say this, because you know what, now that I think about it, this is my opinion. Really, ladies, we love you. And you know what, guys? Even since the beginning of the time, the women really seem like they've been getting a raw deal. I mean, they've been getting a bad deal in the whole situation, you know. Because we look throughout the scriptures and always, you know, even in today's society, women have really had it hard. And women have had a pretty, you know, usually get the short end of the stick, if you would allow me to say that, you know. And so, brothers, let's just give our ladies, give our women, let's give them a hand. Let's give our women a hand. Celebrating the spirit of motherhood. Now, this message actually was inspired by last week's message. There was a particular segment that Pastor Forrest talked about, and he talked about receiving what God has for us, but he talked about being obedient and doing what God has commanded us to do. So I want to talk about the blessing in obedience. Now, you may notice something. This lady looks just like Hagar. Last week's Pastor Forrest showed us a picture of Hagar. We're going to talk about a widow today.
Yeah.
And it's just ironic that she kind of, her and her son looks just like the folks we talked about last week, don't they? I mean, Abraham is the father of all nations, so you just never know. But I want to talk about a widow and her son. And I want to talk about a prophet today as we talk about celebrating the spirit of motherhood. And we're going to talk about, we're going to come from 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to have to read right through some of this, because for you to really get the essence of what this is about, we need to read these 16 verses. And we're going to talk about the blessing in obedience. And there's three things we want to cover in this. We want to talk about divine provision, facing your fears, and the reward in obeying. Divine provision, facing your fears, and the reward in obeying. Divine provision. Let's talk about that. Now, if you notice, you should see a picture up here of, that's Elijah being fed by the ravens. And we see that he has been provided for. And every believer, we have to understand that I don't care how well a job you may have, how much money you have in the bank, or how well you may be living now. Even in this economy, we really need to understand that God really is our provider.
Amen.
Because we are, most of us have experienced, or a lot of us have experienced in the past few years, a lot of that stuff can go right with the wind.
Yeah.
It can be here today and gone today.
Yeah.
You can wake up on top of the world and go to bed on the bottom. So we live in that kind of world. So we need to understand who our provider is. Let's read 1 Kings, going to start with chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10a. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that it is before, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, I want you to remember this phrase, and we're going to talk about this a little bit. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee unto Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, again, remember this phrase, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And 10a, we're just going to read, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And you'll find this from the King James Version. Behold, he went to Zarephath. Divine provision. And we're going to spend just a second here, because the next point is what we really want to settle. But I want you to notice what God said. He said, I commanded the ravens and I have commanded a woman. Look what has happened here now. Ahab was a very evil king. He was a king that did not worship God. The Bible even tells us that Ahab provoked God more than any other king before him. He got on God's nerve more than any other king before him. So you know that had to say a lot of his heart and where his heart was. So now here you have Elijah. Here you have him telling the king about his, and you know sometimes you will get in trouble for telling the truth, but you have to tell the truth anyway. So he told the king about himself, and now Elijah is hiding. God said, I want you to go see, because you have to understand, you don't just say anything to the king. You don't he pretty much put the king in check, and you just can't put the king in check because he's the man in charge. And I really thought about something. We better watch how we talk to the folks in charge. Be careful how you talk to folks in charge. But look at what God does. God sends him away. And he says, I want you to go by a brook. And then he says, I want you to go here. And he said, I want you to stay there. And the ravens and the birds are going to feed you. And Elijah goes. And the Bible tells us that they fed him. And the brook eventually dried up. And there was no more. But one thing I want you to notice is that when God told Elijah to go, Elijah went. A lot of times when God tells us to do something, we try to speculate on how God's going to do it, when God's going to do it, what God's going to do, and where God's going to do. And really all you need to know is that God can do. Doesn't matter when he's going to do it. Doesn't matter where he's going to do it. All we need to know is that God can do it. And the rest is up to him. So Elijah doesn't speculate or doesn't question God. He just go and do what God tells him to do. Now when the brook dries up, remember God said, I commanded the raven to take care of you. Yeah. And the raven did such as. The raven took care of him. So now when the brook dried up because there was no rain, there was no water in the land, God said, now I want you to go to Zarephath. Yeah. I commanded a woman to take care of you. Now you have to think about it, where if you commanded the raven to take care of me and the raven took care of me, well, God, if you speak this word again, I have no other choice but to trust you. So he said, I want you to go to Zarephath. I want to spend a minute here. Let's look at point two. The Bible said that he arose and went to Zarephath. Facing your fears. 10b says this. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Now, you know that sound like a preacher. Y'all make me a play first. The rest of y'all. Y'all might not know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Look, that sounds a little arrogant and rude to me. Here I am telling you, all I have is a little bit of food left. Me and my son's going to eat this little bit, and we're going to die. And you told me to make you a plate first. Now, if you read this, if you remember when we read verse 9, there seems to be in this passage of scripture, there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction here. Because in verse 9, God said, I commanded a widow woman to take care of you. Yeah. But let me set this whole thing up, because you really can see God in this before. I mean, how this whole relationship between Elijah and this widow woman developed. It's really odd, because when you look at the situation, first of all, he walks up to the gate. And he sees the woman. It doesn't seem to be any formal introduction there. And he walks up to this woman and says, a woman, get me some water. And why are you at it? Get me a piece of bread. Now, she really went to get him some water. I don't recall any formal, how you doing, my name is, or whatever. And, you know, so Elijah's coming across kind of rude here. So she goes to get some water. When he says some bread, she turns like, hold on, doc. She said, the little bit that I have, she said, that's for me and my son. Now, let me step away from the text just for a minute here, because I really saw something in this. Her motherly instincts kicked in. In other words, Junebug, you ain't finna walk up in here. What I got is for me and my son. Let me help some of the young ladies, especially our single mothers. Don't let some baby walk up in your house and come between you and your children's relationship and take what you have preserved for your child and give it to him. What God blessed you with. Now, remember, I'm stepping away. I'm going to step out of the text for a minute, because I think this may help somebody. Because, see, he only going to show up around certain times. And when he show up, if he really love you and them kids and care about you, he going to show up with some Pampers or some ramen noodles or something. So don't take what the little bit you got and give him so he can go get some rims. Some $4,000 rims on a $250 car. See, it's happening. And I know y'all know it's happening. It's happening. Don't let him come up in there and destroy your relationship between you and your... No, this is for me and mine. Yeah. Okay, let's get back to the text. She said, all we have is a little bit and we're going to eat and die. Now, the contradiction that I see here is because God told Elijah that I spoke to this woman and I told her to take care of you. But yet, when he asked the woman for water and bread... Although she goes for the water, she says, the bread I have is for me and my son. Mm-hmm. Now, according to the word, as we read in verse 9, he already spoke to Elijah concerning this woman. Yeah. So Elijah had no reason, he did not have a reason not to believe God, because God said, I commanded the ravens to feed you. So now I'm commanding this woman to feed you. So Elijah was like, okay, that's good. I'm good during the time of famine. But here's what happened. When it came time to her to perform what God had told her, watch what happens. God told her to do this. I don't know if he spoke to her audibly through an angel or spoke it in her spirit, in her heart, or whatever. But when it came time for her to perform what God said do, you know what happened? She got practical. She looked at the situation and made an assessment and said, you know what, God? That don't make sense. So she told Elijah, after evidently God spoke to her, she told Elijah, I can't feed you. Because what you're asking me is just not enough. So now when it comes to what God has told her to do, now she gets practical. And the problem with that is we'll miss a lot of our blessings or a lot of what God has for us. You know why? Because we try to be too practical sometimes. Sometimes we'll look at a situation and when God will speak and he's speaking in our situation, sometimes we try to lean on our own wisdom or our own knowledge or our own experience, and God does not always function practically. See, it didn't make sense to me for God to bless Abraham with a son after all him and Sarah went through and then tell him, now take your son and sacrifice him. That's just not practical. It doesn't make sense for Jesus to be out on the water and speak to Peter and say, Peter, come and step out on the water. He said, you come on out here.
Yeah.
That's not practical. And the problem is sometimes when God tells us to do things, sometimes he'll come to you in a very non-practical way. And we're trying to be practical. So now this woman, she becomes practical. And she knew what God told her. And God needs to know that if he speaks and when he speaks, and here's the kicker here. Do you have enough confidence to step out on faith when the situation is not practical? Do you trust God enough to step out on something that's not there when God told you to step out on it and not be practical? Or do you go to God and say, well, you know, Lord, that really don't make no sense. And God is not interested in what makes sense. Because he takes the foolish things of this world and he confounds the wise. So God does not always function practically. So she tells the prophet, she says, I have no bread. Now, although she says, I have no bread, watch this. She actually had everything she needed to make bread. So she wasn't really lying to him. She just said, I don't have any bread. I don't have any actual bread. But what she didn't realize, or what we need to see here is that although she didn't have the actual product, God had given her everything she needed to make it. She needed oil and flour. But what she saw was just a little bit, and she didn't see the bread in God. And what do we draw from this? See, a lot of things God is telling us to do, and what you don't realize, he's already given you the tools.
Amen.
See, a lot of times we're looking for the finished product. And if God give us the finished product, then a lot of times he can't get the glory out of it. So he said, I'm not going to give you the finished product. He said, I'm just going to give you the tools to work with to get to where you need to be. So she didn't have bread, but she had what she needed to make some bread.
Yeah, that's it.
Anybody in here trying to get somewhere and it just seemed like you just can't get there? You can see it. But guess what? God has given you what you need to get there, especially if he's commanded it to you. And all you have to do is remember that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So now we see here that she has what it is to take to make bread with. But here's what she does. Now she allows her circumstance. She allows her circumstance to govern or direct her decision. She looks at the situation, makes an assessment, and she allows her circumstance to govern her decision. She has allowed her faith to overrule her fear, rather, to overrule her faith. Now fear has set in. Let's look at this word circumstance for a minute. And I know you all know what it means, but sometimes we just use words all the time. But let's talk about this word for a minute. Circumstance is a condition that affects what happens or how somebody reacts in a particular situation. Well, let's use the second part as our example today. How somebody reacts in a particular situation. Here's a sentence. Circumstances have arisen that makes it impossible to continue. Circumstances has arisen that makes it possible for you to continue. Here is where the enemy gets us stuck all the time. Because we look at our circumstances. We look at our situation, Sister Anna, and then we do an assessment. Not what God said. We do our own assessment and say, you know what? I can't do this based on my circumstance. Now, based on my circumstances now, something has arisen now, it makes it impossible for me to continue. Why? Because I looked at my circumstances and I allowed it to dictate my decision. And God is saying, I don't want you to look at your circumstances. He said, I want you to look at what I said in the Word. I don't want you to look at what you don't have. He said, I want you to look at what I have. Don't look at who you are. God said, look at who I am. And I preached a long topic one time. It was, stop telling God how big your problems are and start telling your problems how big God is. See, because God is bigger than your circumstance. So she looks at her circumstances and now it affects her decision. And a lot of times we get stuck in this in a stage in our lives. And actually what you have to remember too, the famine was only for a season. It may have been a long season. And sometimes you need to know that your situation is only for a time. And God wants you to know that during your drought, I'm going to provide for you. That during your dry season, he said, I'm going to provide for you. But will you trust me during the drought? Will you trust in me during the dry season? So she allows this to dictate to her. The Bible said that the Lord spoke to her and she heard what the Lord had said. And the problem that she was faced with is that many times God deals in the uncertain and we deal in the certain. So she had a problem exchanging the uncertain or the certain for the uncertain. Certainly I do have oil. Certainly I do have flour. But God is saying, will you exchange what you see for what you can't see? Are you willing to give up something that you have that you see for something that you can't see? Now, that's faith. And the truth is, she prophesied to herself, if you would, or she spoke a word to herself. She said, as a matter of fact, when we eat this, we're going to die. She was expecting to die. And my thing is, you ain't got but a little bit anyway. You may as well share it. All I got is $5 to get to work next week and got just a little bit of gas. Gas is $4 a gallon. $5 ain't going to help. Why don't you take the certain, maybe give it to God, and maybe God could do the uncertain in your life. Because $5 ain't going to get you nowhere, no way. And sometimes we hold on to our little certainties and we won't exchange them on God's command for what God has for us because we don't see it. Making any sense? So her answer to Elijah reflected her physical sight and not her spiritual insight. It reflected what she could see. Now, we see the situation here where God has commanded her to do something. If God ever told you to do something and you're like, well, Lord, what about me? God is telling her to feed somebody and she needs food herself. Sometimes, a lot of times, God will challenge you at the point of where your need is. A lot of times we want to boast and put our chest out, well, I helped and I did. But did you really sow a seed in the place where you were in need? Sometimes, see, it's easy for me to give you $100 if I got $10,000 extra in my pocket. And I want to go, oh, I gave him $100 to feed the family. But what if all you had was 100 and they needed 95 of them to eat? This is how you know God works, because God will challenge you. He will challenge you in an area where your most need is.
Yeah, that's right.
Guess what? If you need love, God will challenge you to love somebody.
Right.
He'll challenge you to love somebody. Well, God, don't nobody love me. Don't nobody care about me. Why don't you start caring about somebody?
Yeah.
Why don't you start loving somebody and watch God meet your need where your void is when you give of yourself? That's trading the certain for the uncertain, church. Let's move on to obeying. Let's move on to point three. So we talked about divine provision. We talked about facing our fears. Let's talk about the reward in obeying. Let me read verse 14 through 17. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day of the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according," watch this, "according to the word of the Lord which Elijah spoke." According to the word of the Lord which Elijah spoke. The reward in obeying. Now I want you to notice something here. Notice a shift in her attitude. First of all, she was dialoguing with Elijah. "I don't have enough to feed you. A little bit I have is for my son." But notice here as we read these chapters, the change or the shift in the woman's attitude when the prophet speaks, "What thus said the Lord." So what happened here? What happens is that Elijah the prophet, he speaks. And what he does now, what he has done now, he has now built up her confidence. And now she's willing to take a step in a direction that she was not willing to take at first. Now he has built up her confidence. At first she was not willing, but Elijah spoke a word, "What thus said the Lord." Let me share something with you. When I'm in dire strait, when my back is up against the wall, I want to hear what God have to say. Amen. Honey, when you're going through hard times, when you're going through a situation where there seems to be no way out, when you're in your dilemma, I don't need to be around no carnal folks. I need to be around somebody that's going to speak a word. That's going to speak a word of what God says. So Elijah speaks a word to her, and now her attitudes change. Because obviously, remember, he told Elijah, "I have commanded this woman to take care of you." So now Elijah speaks the word of God. So now the command that God spoke to her and the word that Elijah spoke to her evidently made a connection. And now what Elijah was doing was actually reinforcing what God had already told her. And see, you need to be careful who's in your circle, because when I'm sometimes in doubt and when I'm sometimes wavering, I need somebody to put me back in check and say, "Well, you know, Pastor, you know what the word said." I need you to reinforce what God really told me. See, sometimes we know the right thing to do. We just don't do it. There's a difference in knowing and doing. She knew what to do, but she wasn't doing it. So it took the word of God. And it connected with her. Now, Elijah could have took a whole nother approach to the whole situation, but it was already in God's plan. So when I'm in a situation where it seems like I'm a little wavery, or when you're in a situation where it seems like you're struggling with a decision, you better call somebody that's going to speak the word of God. Call somebody that's going to pray. Because, see, a lot of folks would tell you, they would deal with it from a practical perspective. "Child, if I was you, I would have left him a long time ago." But see, they don't know. See, what it is, they messed up, and they just want somebody messed up to be with them. See, so when you get messed up, now we can hang out together, girl. Newsflash, married couples, some people, everybody don't want your marriage to work.
That's right. Come on.
See, because when I mess y'all up, now we can hang out now. So I'm not going to be spiritual. I'm not going to speak a word into your life. I'm going to get practical and say, "Child, I would leave him. He can't keep a job. Ain't prayed. Ain't did nothing. Now, don't get me wrong. God deals in different ways, and there are some situations, you know, you have to get out of situations where your life is in danger. But you better be careful letting folks make decisions for you and not letting the Word of God decide your fate. Some folks will be your friends during hard times because they're going through hard times. But do you have you ever noticed when things get good for you, certain folks don't want to be around you no more because they get jealous? They don't want to see you do good. So she confirms, or Elijah confirms or reinforces what the Word of God had already spoken to the woman. In verse 9, it says, arise and go to you. That's not the verse I want. In verse 9, that is the verse I want. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded the woman, or the widow, to take care of you. To take care of you. So what happens between verse 9 and verse 14? Fear set in. Anytime you in doubt, church, anytime fear sets in, grab your Bible. Go somewhere and find you a secret place. And ask God what to do. Don't try to figure this thing out, because you know what? There are certain situations that you're going to encounter you're not going to be able to figure out. There are certain situations in your life that is going to occur, or certain circumstances that won't make sense to you. And if you're not channeled in or tuned in to what God is trying to tell you, you're going to miss what God has for you. You're going to miss what God has for you. And you have to understand that every time you step out on faith, every time you do what God tells you to do in faith, it's going to always require risk. Faith always requires taking a risk. When Peter stepped out on the water, he risked drowning. But he knew, long as Jesus was there, his faith in Jesus said, God ain't going to let me drown. And what I'm trying to tell you, honey, I don't care how bad or bleak your situation is, go ahead and step out on faith, because God will not let you drown.
Amen.
He ain't gonna let you drown. They tell us, there's a saying that says, when I'm at the end of my rope, what they say, tie a knot around it and hang on to the end of your rope. But let me share something with you. I got more than a knot to hang on. I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand. You can hold on to your knot. You see, you know what? If you don't tie that knot tight enough, that knot might slip. But honey, if you put your hand in God's hand, if you hold on to God's unchanging hands, he's not gonna let you fall. He's not going to let you slip. Somebody give the Lord a hand praise. So now the woman is operating in fear. He spoke a word and it connected. Now she's operating in fear. Put this in your BlackBerry. We used to say, you to write this down. Put this in your BlackBerry. Type this in your iPad. Operating in fear does not mean, operating in faith does not mean I don't have fear.
Right.
Operating in faith does not mean that you don't have fear.
Right.
It means that you're going to do it in spite of your fear.
Amen.
That's what that means.
Amen.
Honey, you might be shaking like a leaf, but you know what? I'm going in Jesus' name. Circumstances might seem, you can't say you can't make it, but you know what? I'm still going in Jesus' name. That may be fear, because you have to understand the physical man and the physical man and our mindset is going to always fight against what God tells us to do. So you're fighting that flesh. You're fighting. You're in denial. But the Word of God is saying, you just go, honey. I got your back. I'm going to take care of you. So don't challenge or don't make a decision based on the fear. Because fear will stop you. But my faith says, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't see everything. I don't understand everything. But I'm going to do it anyway. In spite of my.
In
spite of my fear. That's when you know you got to depend on God. You ever been in a situation where you have no other choice? And sometimes God will put us in that situation where we have no other choice but to trust him.
Amen.
I like Nike's commercial. Thank you. Somebody say that again. Just do it. And see, this is the thing. And what I mean, what do I mean by this? Sometimes, anybody ever came to you and said, you know, the Lord spoke to me and told me to do such and such, but I'm praying on it. Wait a minute. You just told me. You just told me. The Lord told you to give me $500. What you praying for? Just do it. See, because if you don't, you're going to be stuck between verse 9 and 14, and fear is going to set in, and you're going to start getting practical, and you're going to say, no, I can't get Pastor Metcalf $500. I don't have but $499.95. Well, reach in your pocket and look in the other pocket because he got another nickel in the other pocket. Just do it. If God said it, just do it. And stop being so practical, using so much common sense trying to figure out stuff. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand how God did what he did. And I'm not trying to figure out. Let me read. Did I read the rest of that? Did I read verse 16? Yeah, I read the rest of that. I don't understand what God did. I don't understand how God did what he did. I never had a raven bring me food. I don't know what God did and how he did what he did. All I know is that when she kept going back to the cupboard, the oil and the flour kept coming.
Amen.
And this is the part I love about it. The Bible says, and they were blessed many days. Now, I'm just going to put it this way. Lord, this is for me. I told God, you know what? I've been experiencing a drought in areas. I said, I'm ready for a many days blessing now. Anybody ready for a many days blessing? I mean, you stepped out on faith and I'm trusting God for something. I said, well, Lord, I'm trusting you. And Lord, I'm just right through here, Lord, just like this woman here. I spoke that right when I was doing it. I said, Lord, I'm ready for a many days blessing. And the Bible said that they ate many days. God created a way. See, here's the thing with God. God can create a way out of no way. I say create a way out of no way. See, there are several escapes to this. You can bust out a window and climb out if you have to. And I'll help you out, Blanche. You can go out this door here. You got a door right there. A door here. There are many ways out of here. If you can get up there, you can get out the window. So we have options. But God can get you out of a situation when there are no options.
Amen.
That's creating a way out of no way. God can get you out of a room where there are no doors or windows. God can get you out of a situation when practicality says there is no way out. God can get you off welfare when the system says you're going to be on welfare the rest of your life. God can get you your PhD when your finances and your current situation say it is impossible. You too old. You got too many responsibilities and you ain't smart enough.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah.
But that's what your circumstances say. But what did God say? Go with me for a minute and we're going to close. Just go with my imagination, y'all. I color stuff in my mind when I'm reading the Bible sometimes. Now, I'm looking at God talking to this flower. And he talking to the oil because you know he got everything in his hand anyway.
Yeah.
And he got the oil. The oil was female. They call her olive. Y'all know? They call her olive oil. He's talking to the oil. He said, look her olive. And he's talking to the flower. Now, y'all may think I'm crazy. But he spoke to the wind and the sea. He evidently spoke to the water and said, water, let Peter walk on it. So God can speak to the elements.
Amen.
Matter of fact, when he created this world, he spoke a word. So now here God has this all. I want you all to see God in this thing now. Because we our little situation ain't nothing for God. I'm trying to tell you this. All in the flower, we said, look, I need y'all to take care of this woman.
Yeah.
The Bible said he commanded. It was out of the woman's hands. She could only do with what she see.
Yeah.
What she didn't realize that God had a conversation with the oil and the flour.
Yeah.
God talked to the resources because little became much when he put it in God's hands.
Amen.
See, watch this. He talked to the oil and the flour and say, every time she come back during this famine, I want you to replenish yourself. She didn't have to go to the grocery store. She didn't have to go to the food pantry. All she kept doing was just pouring that oil and pouring that flour, making that bread, going back to her business, and the next day pouring that oil, pouring that flour, making that bread, going about her business. Honey, all I'm telling you, I'm trying to teach you and myself how to trust God when our resources are limited. But God's resources are unlimited. And not look at what you got, but look at who got what you got. So every time she went back, there was some more. Can you imagine going to the bank? I knew I'd get y'all on that one. I told you I got an imagination like, you know, crazy. Can you imagine popping that ATM card in there? And it's $25 in there. You take the $25 out. You go the next day, you look in there, it's still $25 in there. Now, see, here's what a lot of us don't worry about. Now, just go with me here. Don't worry about having more than enough. Just worry about having enough. Give us this day our
daily
bread. Honey, all you need is enough to get you through the day.
Yeah.
That's all you need. So the woman went to complain. All she had was God gave her enough to make it through the famine. And God has given you because he promised to be your divine provider. And he's given you enough, honey, to make it through the day. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Take no thought what you should eat or what you should drink. God is teaching us, do not worry. I'm going to provide for you today. And I'm going to get you through the day. But can you imagine putting that ATM card in there? Let's get back to the ATM card. And it's $25.15 in there. You go back the next day, it's $25.15. Now, what you tempted to do? But imagine, for the next 30 days, I'm just $25.13. And God is just blessing me $25. But you know what? Here's the thing. Sometimes, I'm gonna go back to the end of this. But we have to understand, sometimes God is operating in a realm and in an area that we're unaware of.
Yeah.
Amen. And then come to find out somebody was depositing $25 in your account every week. You didn't even know it. God just have ways of providing for us. Stop going too far down the road and expect God to do it, but just live for the moment and enjoy what God is doing and thank God for what he's doing. But do you see the blessing in her obeying what God said do? Because she prophesied to herself, she said, me and my son are going to die. And the enemy told a whole lot of folks in here, your dreams, your future, you're going to die right where you are. This is as good as it's going to get for you. And we get stuck. This is as good as it's going to get for you. All those dreams, those ambitions, it's over. And you get stuck. And say, well, I'm going to die just like this. But when the woman obeyed God, she lived a lot longer than she had expected to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you read on, her son died, but he didn't die from that famine.
That's right.
He did die. And guess what? God took care of that situation too. I'll let you read and find out what happened. But understand something. When she obeyed God, look at the blessings that she got. And I don't want to go too further than this message, but the blessings she received, not only did they eat during the famine, when she obeyed what God said, she let the man of God into her house. She took care of the man of God. And when her son died, thank God the man of God was there. And it was all because she obeyed God that she received God's blessing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I know I told y'all the conclusion of his life, but God, we just go ahead. Just read. It's a really good story on obeying and doing what God tells us to do. I don't know about you, but there are some things and areas in my life that I'm really trusting God for. And I don't have the resources. I really don't. And I don't need the resources for selfish reasons. I need the resources for ministry. Now, why would God allow a sinner to build his taverns, his casinos, his clubs, his strip clubs, who don't care about God, don't think about God? But then why wouldn't he allow his child, who obeys him, who is obedient, not build something for the kingdom to help young people or youth out? That's the conversation I had with God. Now, whatever his choice is, that's still God and he's still his choice. But I did have to look at the situation and say, God, if you let them build that, those temples of idol worship, God, all I'm asking you for this. And it ain't really for me. It's for your people. And I just left it at that. But then you know what God told me? Obey. Do you know the bottom line to success in this Christian walk is obedience? That is the bottom line to everything. Everything ties back to obeying God. Your worship, your praise, it goes back to obeying God. God said, you know what? Set that over in the corner. If you're not obeying me, you put it over. Obey me. Everything goes back to, am I obeying the word of God? Lord, I've been saved for 40 years, but are you obeying God? See, there's a difference between having a Savior and a Lord. He was your Savior, or is your Savior, but is he your Lord? Because your Lord, you obey his commands. He saved me and snatched me out of the hands of the enemy. Now are you obeying what he told you to do? And some of our blessings, some of us have blessings that are tied up or tied down because God's saying, I'm just waiting on you to obey. When you get through doing it your way, when you get through trying to figure it out and doing it however you want to do it, he says, all I'm asking you to do is obey and then I'll do the rest. Anybody trusting God for anything in here? Whether it's your relationship, married couples, let me share this with you. You went on a retreat. Guess what? If you don't obey God, that weekend really didn't mean much. I mean, it was a nice weekend, you know, with your friends and you know, have a nice time with your wife and, you know, what all that. But guess what? When you get back here and when y'all get home today, God said, are you going to obey? Amen. Are you going to be the wife that I've called you to be? Are you going to be the husband or the parent that I have called you to be? Are you going to obey? If not, guess what? You just went on a trip for the weekend. But there is a blessing in obedience. There's a blessing in obedience. There's a song I want the praise team to do. And I'm going to need help with this, Pastor. I know I can call you up because you've been you come up here. I need you to pray. I'm just going to give it to you. Because I want to sing this song, I Give Myself Away. Y'all heard this song. And I want this song to minister to you. So we're going to minister in song. And I'm just going to turn the service over to the pastor at this time. And just wherever the Lord leads you, Pastor, you go from here. And let's give God a hand praise for his word.